Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy gospel. Thank you for this parable that your son told. As we wrestle with it today, dear Lord, unlock your secrets and treasures for us. Help me to be a small part of the communication of this gospel, but instead let your Holy Spirit be the real champion, the one who moves and flows and makes this make sense to us, and not only make sense to our minds, but to feed our hearts and to open our ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the world thinks that it's heard most of the things the church has to say. The world thinks that they know what the Bible says and how we communicate it and live it. Of course, most of what they think about what the church says, they've heard on the media. And a lot of the media focuses on radical Christian groups who don't seem to know what the gospel is really about. And those become the mouthpieces for all the church. And the message that I think a lot of those outside the church think that we believe and try to live. And so I wish that today the world could hear today's gospel. I wish that today the world could wrestle with this passage. And I think if they could and did, they would find something really fresh and refreshing to hear. In the parable, those hired first early in the morning by the vineyard owner represent what the world thinks about topics like money and merit and work. Let's look at that here again real close. This is verses 9 through 12. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each one received a denarius. So when they came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We understand this, right? This is the economics of the world. This is how it works. If you work this many hours, you get paid for each of those hours. If you work just a few hours, you just get paid for that. Fairness is important to workers. You've heard me talk about how I feel like my school does things unfairly with the workloads it gives out to different teachers. Right? I've talked about that in sermons, and that's something that's under my skin. It's something bothering me, something I think about all the time. It's not fair. I think part of the message that comes from today's parable is that God isn't fair. Instead, he's gracious and just. And I got to thinking, you know, when I wrote that, I was like, is that right? Because how is fairness different than justice, right? So I had to do some work on that a little bit. And I read that I'm probably going to say it wrong, but I read that fairness is treating everyone the same regardless of circumstance or, you know, differences, I guess. And then justice is giving out what is due to make it righteous. And so I think it's right to say that God isn't fair. Instead, he's just and he's gracious. Let's keep going with this and we'll make more sense of it. Actually, here's probably the easiest way to make sense of it. If we went before God at the end of our lives, and gave account of all our things. Our sins would add up, and as Paul says, the wages of sin is death. But we know because of what Christ has done that God isn't going to focus on those sins because they've been forgiven, and instead give us the gracious gift of entry into heaven. And that's not fair, right? What about those who were really righteous, like Paul, like most of their lives and stuff like that? Don't they get a better reward? Don't they get something more? Like, so I think that can help us maybe approach this statement about God not being fair, but being just and gracious instead. And how is it just then, though, right? And that's because Christ has made us righteous because of what he has done. And that's why it's still just. The Father sees the righteous work of his Son rather than the sins of us that would lead to our deaths.
What more could you want besides heaven?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah. Right. It's an incredible gift. Good point, Myron. That's right. Myron, come on up here. I'll sit right there. Thank you, Myron. That's good. So, you know, what I thought about was Matthew 20 really strikes me. It was struck me in a fresh way as I wrestled with it as a parable of grace. Because what if the workers hired at 5 o'clock are the unchurched? Those hired at the end of the day are the unchurched. Ones that think their lives aren't good enough to receive heaven, and yet the landowner pays them a denarius, which in this gospel represents your pass to heaven, your salvation. Because look, it's the same pay that those get from the first of the day. Just like regardless of when we come to Christ, whether it's at the very beginning of our lives, in the middle, or at thief on the cross, at the end, we all get to go to heaven. We all get paid a denarius. And then Jesus does something even more kind of offensive to us, I guess, if we're wired with the ways of the world. Those who worked just starting at 5 o'clock, they got paid first. So they got to receive their reward first. The last, Jesus says at the close, shall be first. But then you say, you know, what about all those Christians who lived their whole lives, right? Who had 401ks of good works stored up for years and years and years, right? And Jesus says to those folks, you, friend, receive the denarius too, as I promised. And you get the honor of going last. I can't prove this from the gospel and from the story, but I wonder if, you know, even though these workers perceive it as a negative that they get paid last, I wonder if the first are most of us, those who have known the story and been in church most of our lives. And we're going to go last into heaven, not as, you know, some sort of punishment or something, but because that's what Christ would have done. And Christ was the servant, so he went last too. And we get the honor of following in his footsteps to do that. I can't prove that from the gospel, but that's something I thought about. That it's not a badge of dishonor. That's not something to make us mad that we get to go last. But it's kind of taking that servant's path to let those who are receiving the gospel for the first time go in and enjoy that first. Celebrate that graciousness. You know, last week we had Mary's funeral. And she loved to fish. And I picked out a couple passages that I felt like the Spirit led me to that fit who Mary was that Carolyn shared with me and told me about her life and things she liked to do. And one of those was fishing. And so I picked the gospel from Luke 5 in which Peter goes fishing and he fishes all night and he catches nothing. And I said in the funeral sermon, I said, you know, a lot of times life kind of feels like that. That we go fishing all night and we catch nothing. But then what happens in the story is Jesus comes along and he says, go out, try again. Go out into the deeper waters, let down your nets for a catch. And then they catch so many fish that they fill one boat, it starts to sink. They fill another boat, and it starts to sink as well. And they have to take all the fishermen to try to get these boats in before it goes under, before they go under. And I said, even though I hadn't thought about it in that way before, I think this story is one of Christ's tremendous grace, right? Because here we got Peter fishing all night, catching nothing, and then here comes the Lord to say, hey, do it like this. Go out to the deeper waters. Even though a lot of times in our mind we're thinking, you know what, we've done this all night. Is this going to be any different, right? But Peter goes out nonetheless and brings in so many and can't even believe it. That's like the grace of Christ. So extravagant, so big, we can't even believe the haul, compared especially to the nothing that we were able to do on our own. But with Christ, incredible grace. That message of grace was reinforced by the songs that Mike picked. You could tell that Mike took time to pick songs that communicated that love and grace, and by artists that did that in a powerful way. Alison Krauss, I think, and Gillian Welch, maybe, and somebody else. And then the donuts and coffee that Jeff got. They weren't just like from Walmart. These were the best. They were extravagant. And so everything that happened there last week, I felt, communicated the message of the gracious love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I thought, what a powerful message, whether it was in word or deed or whatever, for all those that were here to hear. And I, you know, I don't know a lot of the family. I don't know where they are spiritually. But I was really thankful for the opportunity to do that. Because we don't get that opportunity very much. But at a funeral, regardless of where anybody is spiritually, they're ready to hear what you have to say. And they're ready to experience other things besides words, gifts of hospitality. And all those things communicate grace. And I think the world is dying to hear that message of grace. And so what I want to do with the final moments of this sermon is to think about how, you know, we as a church can continue to communicate that message to a world that needs to hear that. That might not know they need to hear that, but needs to hear that. And I'm a golf fan, you guys know that. And so I was reading an article this week about Coach K. He was a basketball coach at Duke. They won 5 NCAA championships in basketball. He had 1,202 wins or something like that. Incredible. And I think he has the most wins all time. Tremendous coach. He won 3 Olympics with all those NBA players with all their personalities. He found a way to make them a team and win together, even though they lost before he came along. So it wasn't just about talent, etc. Well, Coach K was asked by Jim Furyk, who's a golfer, back in 2017 to speak to his team Jim Furyk was the captain of the Ryder Cup, and that's where the golfers from America, the 10 best golfers, 12 best golfers from America play the 12 best golfers from all around the world. So it's like USA versus the world. And they do it every 2 years. And it's actually next weekend. It starts Thursday, I think. Thursday or Friday, this week. But this is back in 2017. He said, come speak to my team. Say whatever you want to say. And Coach K came and he had four points or four messages that he wanted to communicate to the USA Ryder Cup team. And by the way, the other thing you should know is that that year the Ryder Cup was on European soil. And so the USA would not be at home for those matches. And he said, number one, Coach K said, number one, expect a hostile environment. And regardless of what is said, and no matter how bad it is, just stay in your zone and keep going. And I thought, that's a good message for the church, because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people, not all, but there's a lot of people out there that think that they don't want to hear what we have to say, that they've heard it and they're done with it. And it's hostile. It feels hostile as a Christian sometimes, trying to live and tell the story of Christ wherever we are in our work and in our lives. And so if we can hear Coach K's message to us, if that's fair, expect that that's going to happen. That's where we're at in history right now. It may not have been where we were at in the 1950s or 60s, but it is where we're at now. There's a lot of hostility towards the church. Still a lot of Christians out there, of course, a lot of people that are open to that. But expect that if you're telling the story often, you're going to run into some of those hostility. And remember what Christ said. He said, hey, if you're getting persecuted for me, it's the best. Because great is your reward in heaven. That's what they did to the prophets who were true before you. And so know that God is cheering you on extra hard, giving you the Holy Spirit to do this, even in a hostile environment. That's number one. Coach K said, number two, don't check your egos at the door. Now, he was again speaking to, professional athletes. He probably was drawn upon his experience when he coached those pro basketball players, all who had great egos. But he said, don't leave those behind when you play for this team. And I think how that is a good message for us is that, of course, we want to be humble. It's not like we want to be egotistical, and we want to be humble as followers of Jesus. But I think the way that we can take that message is tell the story with pride and enthusiasm and confidence. Because I think the world has kind of made us feel like, because we feel like no one wants to hear the message of Christ, that everybody's heard it and they're hostile towards it, because they think Christians are hypocritical and bigots and so forth, that it makes us kind of shy away from telling that story. And I think so Coach K's message is good to us. Be enthusiastic about it. Be prideful about it, just like we are here. Be confident about it. Pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, give me those words, because that's where those feelings come from, not from our own pride and confidence, but from the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like we see in the Bible with Peter preaching or Stephen preaching or Saul or Paul, they're doing that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I don't even know what I say to you guys. I have an outline I make, but sometimes the Holy Spirit leads me off of it, okay? And I go on with saying things I never planned, right? And so that'll happen for you as you tell this story. The Holy Spirit will speak for you, and that's what I pray every time before I start, right? You guys are probably tired hearing that prayer after 20 years or whatever it's been, that these words be yours and not mine. So I'm always inviting the Spirit to lead me off of my outline. The outline's there because I'm old and because I want to stay on track in some way, and I forget what I want to say to you sometimes.
What did you say before?
49 yesterday. So you know, but the Spirit is there. I want to invite that into your lives to tell this story. Number three, he said, feel the importance of the uniform. Feel the importance of the uniform. Go back to your hotel room. Try on the uniform. Sleep in it. Enjoy feeling the USA uniform, right, that they're wearing. Or in this sense, the Ryder Cup, probably polo shirt, golf shirt that they would wear. And what does that mean for us? What's our uniform? And I think one of those things is, I read a cool study that you'd be amazed. You know, I've talked about this, that this, a lot of people don't look at signs anymore. We talked about that, right? They don't. Now, some of our generation, my generation does, and many of your generations do. A lot of the younger generations don't look at signs, but they do look at T-shirts. That's what the study said. And so when you got a Christian T-shirt on, you got scripture on there, people look at it and they wonder about you. And I've seen this happen. I've got a T-shirt that Sarah and I got on a marriage retreat, and it has a scripture from Ephesians on it. It just says every. Then it says Ephesians 3, and it doesn't even have the whole verse there. But just that Ephesians 3, I see people studying it and looking at me. I see that happen. And sometimes they'll start conversations. Like at the doctor's office, I had that shirt on. And the aide that was drawing my blood started talking to me about the shirt and what it meant. And she was younger, you know, probably 20s or 30s. And we, Sarah and I, went to Penrod Arts Fair for our wedding anniversary weekend the 10th of September. And I wore that shirt again because it was our, you know, marriage retreat. So I wore that for the anniversary. And I had all kinds of people looking at that shirt and staring at it. And I saw the wheels turning in their head. So, you know, get out that cross necklace. Wear it to work. Go buy some Christian T-shirts with scriptures on them and wear those around about when you go to do errands and go to the grocery store and things. And see where those lead. Sometimes they lead to conversations, and there's your chance, right? You're talking about the scripture, talking about why you're wearing this shirt. It happens, believe it or not. And so, you know, feel the importance of the uniform, as Coach K said. And then finally, number four, he said, remember that you're not only playing for the USA, you're playing for this team, for each other. And I think how I would adapt that and think about that is, whichever one motivates you more, go with it. In other words, if it motivates you more that you're playing for the kingdom of God, awesome. If it motivates you more that you're playing for St. Mark's Lutheran Church to bring people in here, great as well. But either one, we're playing for the kingdom, we're playing for St. Mark's Lutheran Church as we share that story. We're doing the work in the vineyard. We're sharing the gospel, sharing this story of grace and forgiveness to a world that needs to hear it. And for a church that needs to fill its pews. Right? Came across a neat quote this week. This guy from a guy named Robert Capon. He said, if the world could have been saved by good bookkeeping, it would have been saved by Moses, not Jesus. And what he means by that is, you know, Moses had the law, right? And there was a lot of keeping score in order to be saved. That was the path. You keep these commandments, you live. You don't keep these commandments, you die. Which goes back to our parable again today, right? The workers who were hired early in the morning, they were keeping score. Hey, we bore in the heat of the day. We should get paid more than the ones who got hired at 5. But then the owner says, reminds them, hey, I promised you this amount. Here it is. I'm not going against my word. I just want to be generous and gracious to those who came later to work in the day. And shouldn't I be allowed to do that with my money? The landowner, I think, is God. God can do whatever he wants with who gets into heaven. It's his place. And it's his grace. And he wants to share it with as many people as he can. Let's go out there, motivated by today's parable and Coach K, to share some stories of grace with a world who needs to hear it. Amen.